You're listening to KPFK 90.7 FM and Melting Pot, and today it is my distinct pleasure to welcome in King here into our studios. How are you guys doing?
Great. Good. How are you?
I am fantastic, and I am extremely excited to have you guys here. You're going to perform some songs. We're also going to get a chance to talk for a little bit. Just an amazing kind of rising star here in Los Angeles for you guys. And we're going to start off just throwing it to you for a couple songs. So here is King right now on 90.7 FM, Los Angeles, KPFK.
Disappearing to eternity.
You just heard music from King right here at KPFK in Melting Pot. And I just want to thank you again, all of you, for coming in once again to the show. Like a lot of people, kind of the first moment I heard you, it was like big time love, like immediately, like, oh my God, I love this band. I love this sound. And that kind of reaction seems like it's happened to quite a lot of people. For those who haven't heard of you, since you are a brand new band, could you tell us a little bit about the story of King, especially maybe starting with Paris and Amber as sisters growing up? You know, did you come from a musical family?
Yes, our background is somewhat musical. Our father is a musician. He loves music. It's just a hobby of his. Mm-hmm. And we have like an uncle and, you know, everyone's into music. We you know, from our cousins, our older cousins, you know how we all have those older cousins that introduce us and put us on to, like, you know, Songs in the Key of Life or, you know, Al Green and, you know, but same with Anita. I think we all come from, you know, music appreciators.
Okay. Mm-hmm. But not musicians, technically.
Yeah. Well, our dad plays keys. He plays a little guitar. Uh-huh. We had an uncle, his brother, who was a blues musician. Uh-huh. So we had to kind of grow up watching that.
And, okay.
Yeah.
And you guys grew up in the Minneapolis area?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Could you tell me a little bit about how growing up in that particular area and with, you know, some very distinct sounds that have come out of that area, how that might have influenced you coming up?
Yeah. Definitely. I feel like, you know, all of the musicians that you look up to in Minneapolis, it's not a really small town, but, you know, I always felt like we were one step kind of removed from people who knew, like, Jimmy Jam and Terry Lewis.
Hmm.
So I think in that light, yes. But, I mean, just like, you know, across the world, you know, they inspired so many people, all those musicians that came out of Minneapolis. So I think, you know, it's just, it kind of hit us hard, but the same way it probably would have, you know, touched Anita hearing, you know, Janet Jackson with that type of production or Prince and so forth.
Hmm. And had you guys always had, you know, when you were, you know, younger, did you have kind of plans for making music? Did you think you were going to be musicians?
I would say I knew. I started playing piano when I was around 2, and Amber and I always hung out together and would write just for fun and, you know, make music just, you know, on the side. But I think that I always knew that I was going to be doing something in music.
What about you, Amber?
No, not necessarily. I always felt a connection when parents would come home from school and we would kind of just catch up and write together a little bit, but nothing was too serious. I never, you know, thought it would be on this scale, but I knew I loved working with her.
Hmm. You know? Now, how did Anita, how did you come into the mix with the two of them?
Well, I met Paris briefly at a rehearsal in Boston at Berklee College of Music.
Hmm.
And she moved back out, or when she graduated, she moved to California, and we just kind of ran into each other at a jam session and started hanging out, and
what,
yeah,
was that?
Became friends.
When you guys were both at Berklee, were you already kind of messing around with what kind of the sound of King would be, or were you kind of pursuing different kinds of music?
For me, it was, you know, very writing heavy and composition heavy. I was doing a major called Contemporary Writing Production.
Mm.
So it was a lot of writing to visuals, film scoring, and, you know, commercial scoring and stuff like that. But I was definitely working on other projects with other friends, but King wasn't even a thought in my mind. I never knew that King was going to happen until King had happened. So I do feel like all of those different musical situations were priming me for this. I just didn't know this was going to happen.
Mm. So how did King happen?
Well, like Anita said, after she came, or I came out to Los Angeles and we met at the jam session, she and I kind of started hanging out a bit. Amber came to visit for our birthday, and we were all just really sitting in the room. The energy was really great. We started writing together, playing together a little bit, and it just kept building to the point where we had songs before we were a band.
Mm.
You know, we were kind of getting a set together. We didn't have a band name or anything. We just knew that we liked to write and make music together.
And how did you, it's kind of a different way of asking almost the same question. How did you arrive at the name King for what you were going to do?
You know, once we had, you know, we were doing like a small residency, just like a tiny living room series. And we were like, oh, we should probably name this. Okay, so let's think of names. And just one day I was like, King. I don't remember necessarily how I traveled to that conclusion, but I got home and the two girls were home and I was like, what do you guys think about this? And they're like, yeah. So it was, the name was really inspired, but the meaning came to us immediately thereafter. We started thinking of all the, it was kind of backwards, but like all the reasons why we should be called King after we knew that King was our name.
How would you describe this sound that you guys have put together here, the sound of King?
Simply put, we think it sounds like love and fun, and it's everything that we individually and collectively wanted to hear in music.
Hmm.
So I think that when you're hearing King, you're really hearing, like,
our soul.
Yeah, our personalities. Like, a lot about us is in that music. And I think that we hope that when people hear it, they feel that, too, that it was made all in love and, you know.
I think that's you know, one of the reasons why people have such strong reactions to this music. You know, a lot of people make soul music in a technical objective sense, but a lot of times when people make soul music, they just mean soul as a genre, mm-hmm. as opposed to literally music that comes from your soul. And it's nice to hear you describe it that way, because it definitely fits. Like, that's one of the things that I think that a lot of times with a lot of artists, there's some that you see the potential and kind of what they can be, and with you guys, it's again this kind of immediate reaction when you play it for people first time you hear it, all these various things. I was wondering if kind of you had a sense of this is kind of a strange question to ask people, but I'm going to ask it anyway. If you had a sense of kind of how good you were before you started letting other people hear this music and kind of putting the music out there.
I think that when it goes back, honestly, to making music that you want to hear.
Mm.
And so, you know, kind of looking at artists that we might admire or just referencing, not even maybe music, but just life experiences and taking all the good of that. It's a feeling of holding yourself to a standard of, you know, it's kind of, although we're not talking about, you know, any crazy topics in our music, it's a lot of, I feel like, integrity in it, mm-hmm. and just trying to, you know, stay in the same wavelength as one another and stay true to your soul and just be making music that you really love. And there's just no in between for that. So I think that it's nice also because outside sources are even worrying about how you might sound, or, you know, it's just trying to make it as honest as possible, mm. which kind of takes away, you know, even having to pay attention to how it comes off to other people, or mm-hmm. the goodness of it or the badness of it. But it's truly from us and just what we would like to hear. I think our intention with releasing the EP was just to put it out for ourselves and our friends and family. And so once we were there, I think we realized that it's just really up to us to be making the music that we want to make, but not to be caught in so much of, you know, how good or how whatever it might be. It's just, you know, trying to bring full honesty to the plate, you know, from us.
Mm-hmm. Where did you actually record the original EP?
In my bedroom.
In your bedroom? Literally bedroom soul. Okay, so you recorded the songs, and you released them digitally over the internet. Made a little video first mm-hmm. for the story.
Paris made all of that video.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
And then we have to talk about this, the kind of reaction that, again, has happened in a lot of different places. People hear this music and they kind of flip out for it. And especially, it seems that there have been, you know, some very particular people who've heard it and flipped out for it and have kind of raised awareness of your music. And that kind of thing is like probably every musician's kind of fairy tale beginnings. Like, what has it been like to actually be the musicians who are kind of in that musical fairy tale, except it's for real?
It's really inspiring. Like, mm-hmm. I mean, it's, you get inspired every day just by doing what you do, just knowing how far it can go and, you know, how people are receiving it.
Mm-hmm.
Like Amber had mentioned, we had just done it kind of for friends and family, and it was just something that we knew to do. It wasn't, we didn't market it, we didn't do any of the, you know, promotion or anything. We really just put it out there. So to see how it came back was just like, we have to keep going, we want to keep going. It's just, you know, everything to us.
Now, in particular, you know, some of the people who've become fans of King, you know, Fonte from Little Brother or Foreign Exchange, I guess these days, was kind of an early adopter, mm-hmm. and kind of spread the word to a variety of people, including Questlove and Erykah Badu. But the most interesting kind of connection or fan for King seems to have been Prince. Mm-hmm. And could you tell me a little bit about how this it seems like it just happened by happenstance with Prince, where he just, it wasn't like somebody told him about it. He found, like, divine providence. He just found your music.
Yeah. He's, you know, I believe he found it on the internet as well. Mm-hmm. So for us, it was like we put it out on March 1st, and I think by like March 18th or something, it had traveled through all those people.
Right. We had heard from everyone.
Yeah.
And it was just organic and awesome. I know a lot of people assume that we've always known Prince because we're from Minneapolis.
Yeah.
But,
yeah.
You know, it was really him meeting us and not knowing anything about us and just saying, like, you know, I really love your music. I've listened to it a bunch. And for us, it was just like, oh, Prince. That's like, he doesn't know. He's like our dad in our head. He's like everybody's musical godfather, you know. Mm-hmm. But we also grew up in Minneapolis and got to see his influence, like, you know, visually and everything. So.
What was that like, meeting Prince for the first time? It's not a question I get to ask very often, so this is one of the questions I definitely wanted to ask. Like, what was that like?
It's amazing. He's such a visionary and such a strong man, but he's very humble still and very genuine and very nice. He came to us, and one of the first things that he kind of mentioned was that, like, don't change anything, you know, and just take your time with it. This is your art, you know, and I think... it was more of him trusting us and trusting our art and our music that said so much more than, you know, any word could ever say. But just, you know, it was an automatic feeling that he really respected and trusted us, you know, which is amazing. You can't ask for more from such a visionary. And he sculpted so many things in the music world, and it's just unbelievable to have someone like Prince telling you, you know, I want you to have the opportunities that, you know, we didn't have. I'm sorry, that he didn't have.
Yeah, that's an interesting way of thinking about it. You start off recording this music, you know, with family and friends, literally in a bedroom. You put it out, and I mean, now Prince is interested in you. How has the difference between kind of the initial recording process, especially when you were making the EP, been different for you in terms of making this album, the full length that's going to be forthcoming? How has that process been different in terms of getting your music together, writing the songs, now with this expectation in some ways?
it was actually, it's interesting too, because we made the EP in somewhat of a vacuum. Mm-hmm. No one knew about it to know what it was going to be or to even critique it for that matter.
Yeah.
Then people heard it, and then we went into making the album. But it didn't change anything for us.
We're not in like a studio. We're still...
Yeah, we're still...
Did you record the full-length record in your bedroom still?
Well, my former roommate moved out, so we... it's a room that's a studio now that is technically a bedroom, yes.
That's brilliant.
But nothing changed on that level.
Uh-huh.
So it's all still completely from us. It's not like, oh, wow, our EP came out now. It's not like we upgraded like to a whole studio or anything. It was still the same creative process as it was in the beginning.
That's fantastic.
Yeah. and getting to write, you know, the songs and everything, you know, there's definitely a bar set. It was like, you know, we worked really hard on those three songs. We're never going to work any less hard on anything else that comes out.
Mm.
And so we just did it until it was perfect, you know. Lots of learning on the go. The EP was my first project that I produced. So this is, you know, going back in and learning, you know, from that experience and just growing and until we finished.
And actually, in some respects, I should have asked this question kind of before I started getting into the stuff about the record. But, you know, one of the other things that you guys have done kind of in the in-between time since the EP came out up to now is you also did some guest work with Robert Glasper.
Mm-hmm.
And I was also interested in how that project came together and how the work for Move Love came together.
Robert invited us to do that project when it was, you know, he was still inviting people and feeling it out. He came to Los Angeles and he came over and showed us, you know, just some chords that he had in mind, and he was just hanging out. I think it was a tour stop, so he did some laundry, you know, you know, just kicked it for a while. But when he stepped out, we just started working on melody and the lyrics, and by the time he came back a few hours later, we had Move Love. I don't know, Amber and Anita can speak more on the lyrical part too. But yeah, it was fun. That was a really great and organic experience to collaborate in that way with someone who, you know, I've grown up watching play piano. And also, after we recorded and actually wrote the song at that time, we vocal produced it at our house, and then in the studio, we got to watch like the amazing experiment really layer and just put all this wonderful energy into it. It was a wonderful collaboration.
And in thinking about, maybe this is a way to segue back into the new record, in thinking about kind of that process of, instead of the music that you create by yourselves and kind of for yourselves, did working with somebody else, especially somebody like Robert Glasper, did that start you thinking about maybe different kinds of collaborative projects that King could get involved in?
Well, you know, that was one that really was natural and felt great and everything, but I think that our focus is mostly on King as the three of us working together, and there's something really special about working with just the three of us when you know the idea is like 100%, you know, everything you want it to be, and there's no, you know, having a pianist my whole life and playing with all these different people, like this is something so special that I'm not really eager in a rush to like kind of, you know.
For a while, I guess we've just been really focused on trying to solidify our sound and get it out there. But as she was saying, we were lucky to work with Robert Glasper and have that be such an organic experience. So.
Okay. So then on the record, the record is going to be just a King affair, just the three of you. When can we expect the full length to come out?
We don't have a date yet.
Okay.
You know, we're still working on the business part of it.
Okay. Are you going to self-release it as well, or is it going to be through a label? Can you even tell us that just yet?
To be determined.
I only ask these questions because we want your music. Like we want it yesterday. We want it. You know, so like, do you think it's going to be 2013, this year, that we're going to get a full-length record from King?
I want to say yeah.
All right. Because all the work for the record, maybe that's a better way of asking. All the songs are already recorded. You kind of have them in the place that you want. Mm-hmm. I mean, you've already released the single in the meantime. Mm-hmm. So the work is kind of, the artistic work is kind of done your end. And it's just figuring out the business end of it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. I'll accept this answer for right now. I'm not sure if everybody else is going to accept it for a long period of time.
Well, that's why we have in the meantime for in the meantime. Thinking,
we have the greatest fans. You know, our Twitter following and the people that we connect with on Facebook, they're awesome, and a lot of them have been reaching out and just like, you know, we know you guys are working on it. However long it takes, we're excited to hear it. We're just here for you guys. So that's been lovely to read.
Yeah, it's difficult as a fan because you don't want to rush things. You want to be patient, but you also have that anxiousness where, you know, like you always want the artist to be creating music and putting the music out like as soon as you possibly can. And, you know, that's also, I think, a great compliment to you guys that that you have both your fans have both of those dimensions, you know, that they really want to hear the new things, but they're also, you know, take your time, be patient. You have the new record will be coming out forthcoming. Are you guys thinking about doing any touring, performing any shows, especially around Los Angeles?
Yeah, that'll be coming up soon.
Yeah.
We don't have anything solidified yet, but we're so excited to get out there and perform, play with everybody. You know.
I think this summer is going to be great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah? Okay, so we definitely have some, we don't know when the record will come out, but we do, we have some expectations here to have a little bit more of King this summer, at least here in Los Angeles, maybe in other parts as well. It's part of the reason why this is such a distinct kind of privilege for us to have you here, because we do get to get you guys to perform. Could we get you to perform another couple songs?
Absolutely.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Okay. All right. We've been talking with Paris, Amber, and Anita of King, and we're going to throw it back to them for a couple more songs here on KPFK and Melting Pot.
You say replay. Star, got a story to tell. something underneath my feet. I'm so far from home. Still a ways to go. Go. The ride is rocky and the road is long. But I know that my soul is never gonna steer me wrong. Gonna master the art.
You just heard a couple more songs from King right here in our studios at KPFK 90.7 FM. I can't thank you enough for coming in. It's really been an amazing, amazing, amazing time.
Thanks.
Three amazings for all of you. Thank you so much for coming in once again.
Thank you so much for having
us. It's an honor to be here.
Here now is some additional music from King. This is the collaboration they did with Robert Glasper. On his record, Black Radio, the name of the song is Move Love, featuring King on KPFK and Melting Pot.
Head back to the beginning of time. No, nothing, nowhere, or no one to find. We follow the after the sun, searching for some peace of mind, searching for the silver light. Stop, turn, look and see.
Some sassy to me. They say Oh,
Well, that's everything I got for you this Sunday. Closing things up with a 7-inch from last year from Willie West and the High Society Brothers on the Timian record label. She's So Why is the name of the song. It's probably not a song in the last year I wanted to dance to more than that one. And yesterday I was riding my bike and actually ran into a car. But I'm totally fine. The bike's fine. Like, everybody's fine. The car's actually not so fine because I ran into it. But yeah, I felt like dancing after everything was fine. And so there you go. Willie West and the High Society Brothers. She's So Wise. Also, some music from Lady in the set recorded live here at KPFK earlier in the month. Money, the name of the song from them. It's featured on their record, but that stripped-down version you can only find here at KPFK and on our website, meltingpotblog.com. Alice Russell in the set, who was just in town this past week, did a couple of shows, was elsewheres, but we still love you. Twin Peaks, the name of the song, best song on the record, To Dust. Hopefully they'll release that as a single soon, because it deserves to be, from Alice Russell. And start things off with the Robert Glasper Experiment from the Grammy Award-winning album Black Radio. You heard the song that very likely sealed the deal from King and Move Love, along with Robert Glasper. Big thanks to everybody who helped us to bring them in. Of course, to the group themselves, to Paris, Anita, and Amber, and also to Lori and Sophia for setting everything up, and to Mark Maxwell for doing the sound. The interview and performance from King will be archived on our website, meltingpotblog.com, starting tomorrow, in addition to this show and our playlist. Quite a few other performances in the section on that website called Be Our Guest. Almost 3 years worth. Got an anniversary coming up pretty soon, and I can almost guarantee you, you'll probably hear a replay of that interview on our 3-year anniversary. Okay, folks, Folk Scene is up next, and I will see you guys next week for Mother's Day. Y'all take care. Bye-bye.